The WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live and we are local. And it all starts with WTNS News.
Better, but still not good. I'm Jeremy Scott. Coshocton County no longer has the highest COVID transmission rate in the state. The Ohio Department of Health released numbers yesterday for the period of September 30th to October 13th that show Guernsey County now has that notoriety with 1,124 cases per 100,000 people. Coshocton, which had that distinction as of the October 1st start of the fair with 1,478 cases per 100,000 people, now sits at 1,071 per 100,000. Muskingum has the third highest rate, 1,050 cases per 100,000, followed by Gallia and Jackson. The state yesterday recorded 5,143 new cases, while 7,245 Ohioans either started their vaccine process or got the single dose Johnson & Johnson. State health officials say planning is underway in anticipation of a possible rollout of the coronavirus vaccine for a younger age group of children. Dr. Bruce Vanderhoff, the director of the Ohio Department of Health, said in terms of scenario planning, they're working with all their partnering agencies to make sure they're ready to go if the Pfizer vaccine for this age group gets the green light. Vanderhoff believes a decision on a vaccine for younger children is only a few weeks away.
Really looks to me they are planning to have those meetings occur by the beginning of November. So that's very, very encouraging.
Doctors here in Ohio say they are seeing more COVID-related pediatric hospitalizations. West Lafayette Chamber of Commerce has canceled another event because of the pandemic. The annual Children's Halloween Party will not be held.
Hopefully we get to do it next year. We talked to Mr. Maslowski and he agreed, and all our chamber officers agreed that we should cancel.
Chamber President Orrin Griffith says the decision was made in the best interest of everyone involved. For now, children can still look forward to seeing Santa during the Village Christmas Parade December 4th at 1 p.m. A panel of U.S. health advisors has endorsed booster shots for Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. The advisors to the Food and Drug Administration voted yesterday to recommend a lower-dose booster shot for seniors and other high-risk groups. Already, millions who got their initial Pfizer shots at least 6 months ago are getting a booster of that brand. The FDA panel will discuss booster shots of Johnson & Johnson's vaccine today. Final decisions are expected next week. U.S. officials stress the priority is to get shots to the 66 million unvaccinated Americans who are eligible. Well, election season is in full swing. Not only did early voting in Ohio begin this past Tuesday, but Coshocton Business and Professional Women, Ohio Farm Bureau, and WTNS last night held the annual Meet the Candidates event. Event co-chair Breanne Smith from BPW says she came away very pleased.
We had over 22 candidates and people representing issues. One of our best turnouts I think we've had in a long time.
A total of 12 races and levy issues were covered. A replay of the event will air this morning from 9 to 11 during Mike Bechtel's Communication Lines. A congressional committee investigating the January 6th insurrection has set a vote to recommend criminal contempt charges against former White House aide Steve Bannon after he defied the panel's subpoena. Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi says the panel will vote Tuesday to recommend the charges. That would send the recommendation to the full House for a vote. Now, if the House votes to recommend the contempt charges against Bannon, the Justice Department will ultimately decide whether to prosecute. The committee had demanded documents and testimony from Bannon, who was in touch with President Trump ahead of the violent attack. And a new village account will more accurately and effectively monitor sheriff's property sales in Newcomerstown. Some abandoned properties or foreclosures are put out for bid with the money formally being deposited into the general fund.
Whenever we get that $2,500 or that bid money in, it goes directly into that, and we can roll it over to the next abandoned housing or lot that comes open that we want to get something better done with it.
Mayor Pat Cadle says an account for such sales has been approved by the state as compared to having to reappropriate funding entirely. Two properties in the village, one on East State Street, which did not sell at sheriff auction, and the other on Martin Luther King Drive, will soon be out for bid. From the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, the report from yesterday looks like this. Jessica McKinney of Lawton, Oklahoma, sideswiped a vehicle belonging to Mary Wells of Akron in the 600 block of South 7th Street. John Rogers of Coshocton was heading southbound on North 2nd Street when he failed to abide by the traffic control device and was struck by another vehicle driven by Emily Gingerich. And Opha Lawson Jr. of Coshocton was traveling westbound on County Road 9 when he struck a deer. These complaints, deputies were dispatched to the office to speak with a female subject in reference to her vehicle being vandalized in the 400 block of North 10th Street. Kylie Biss Brown of Coshocton reported a civil issue in the 700 block of Magnolia Street in Coshocton, and a Coshocton woman reported a Coshocton man making threats to harm his family. Male was transported for evaluation. Once again, this programming reminder, our replay of Meet the Candidates from last night will air this morning from 9 to 11 during communication lines right here on WTNS. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
This look at the weather is brought to you by locally owned and operated Rick's Auto Sales and Repair. Minor dents and dings? No problem. Major collision repair? No problem. All repairs are handled by their ASE Blue and iCar Gold certified technicians. They accept insurance claims and offer rentals too. Rick's Auto Sales and Repair is located on South 2nd Street or call them at 740-622-3471.
Partly sunny skies today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, warm with highs in the upper 70s, chance of rain 50%. Showers likely tonight with scattered thunderstorms in the evening, and showers with isolated thunderstorms after midnight, mild with lows in the mid-60s, chance of rain near 100%. For tomorrow, cloudy skies with showers in the morning, then a partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon, much cooler, less humid with highs in the upper 50s, chance of rain 90%. It is currently 71 degrees in Coshocton. Last night, the Coshocton County Career Center, it was the annual Meet the Candidates night, and we are going to replay that event this morning on the Communication Lines program, and you will be hearing from issues facing the townships and some countywide school issues that are facing the county as well. We'll hear from candidates for the Riverview School Board and Coshocton City Council, and we'll hear from representatives for the various levies that we are facing, including the new Justice Center, sales tax for the Justice Center, and also the Career Center levy as well. So we have a lot to come over the next couple of hours, so let's get to it.
Before we get to our explanation of proceedings, I do believe that it's only right that we welcome all of our candidates here tonight, and if we could actually have them stand up for us and give a little wave to the audience and wave to Mom. We thank each and every one of them for being here tonight. We also say thank you to BPW as well as to the Farm Bureau. And from a radio perspective, special thanks to the Ensley Insurance Agency, your Wayne Insurance Group. So the explanation of proceedings will go like this. Each candidate and issue representative will be allotted a maximum of 3 minutes to make an opening statement. Each candidate and representative will then face up to 3 follow-up questions with 1 minute to answer each one. Our timekeeper for tonight, as mentioned, is Liz Harrell from BPW. We thank her for her time and give her all the permission in the world to crack that whip whenever she needs to. And for the sake of streamlining time, I will be off to the side of the podium with a handheld microphone so that the candidates and I don't have to keep alternating positions with each question that I ask after they give their opening statement. And the questions that I will be asking were formulated at WTNS, some of which have been asked to the news team by citizens. And, of course, thank you to the citizens listening and here in the audience tonight for their civic participation. And I view my job as moderator to play the role of the undecided skeptic. So each question that I have formulated that I will be asking here tonight was written from the point of view of that undecided skeptic. You tuned in or came here tonight to become more educated about what faces you in 19 days at the polls. And so with that, let's meet the candidates. Up first tonight, Todd Schroyer from the Coshocton County EMS. He is the director. The Coshocton County EMS has a big levy on the ballot, and we are going to find out all about what that levy is right now. Todd.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the Coshocton Business and Professional Women, the Coshocton County Farm Bureau, and WTNS Radio for providing me with the opportunity to talk about Coshocton County EMS. I'd also like to thank everyone here tonight and those listening who have supported our local EMS. On behalf of everyone at Coshocton County EMS, I'm asking that voters support our property tax levy on the November ballot. This is a renewal of our existing tax levy that was first passed in 2003. It's not a new tax, but this levy generates approximately $2.1 million annually and represents nearly 55% of our annual operating revenue. I think like everyone, dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic has been emotionally and physically draining. And probably all of us know someone or we've had a family member who's battled the virus. And unfortunately, some of us have lost people to the virus. In healthcare, it's completely changed everything. Our worlds went upside down. Just caring for a patient over the last 18 months has put our own health at risk. It's not only put our health at risk, it's put our family's health at risk. The continuous wearing of PPE, the continuous changing of the masks and everything, the never-ending cleaning and sanitizing of our buildings, our trucks, our equipment, the overtime that's been required to cover for other employees who were infected or were quarantined, and then you compound that with the stress and the compassion fatigue, and it's pushed many people to quit. We've lost a tremendous number, and as a result, a lot of EMS systems are really struggling, and a lot of communities right now are facing increased response delays due to a lack of EMS resources. I feel we're very fortunate. It's not been easy. Many of our employees have worked an incredibly long number of hours. I've had employees work 120 hours in a week over the last 18 months. But we have an extremely dedicated and talented group of EMTs and paramedics. They've not wavered in their duty to serve their community. You know, I think it's remarkable that I still have 11 people who started in the volunteer system way, way back that are still employees. And there's now 7 of us with over 35 years in local EMS. And that's to me, something. The other thing that I'm proud of is despite the record number of healthcare workers that have left the profession, we still have 70% of our full-time staff from before the pandemic. So, again, I'm running out of time. 5,800 calls is about what we're going to run this year. Our average response time, the time you call 911 till we get there, is 7 minutes. The state average is 9. We've maintained our 7 through the pandemic. Thanks to help with the commissioners from the CARES Act, thanks to voter support in 18 when we passed our additional levy, thanks to help from the Coshocton Foundation, the Montgomery Foundation, Lafayette Township trustees to buy Lucas devices, we've invested over $1.5 million this last year, or last 4 years, to improve our equipment. So again, I want to thank everybody in the community for your support, and I hope that you'll support us in November. Thank you.
Todd, you mentioned the CARES Act funding. EMS got $1.95 million in CARES Act funding for the new building where Central Elementary used to be. You also got $500,000 in grant money for your hydraulic lifting equipment, a new ambulance, and a bunch of other equipment. How would the use of these funds differ from what you would do, or how would you, the use of these funds that you're asking for here tonight differ from what you did with those other funds with all the things that I just mentioned?
Well, basically, the money that we received from the commissioners to help purchase new cardiac monitors, a new ambulance, and some power loading and lifting devices, had we not got that money, it would have had to have come out of the tax revenue, and we would have had to delay those purchases or spread them out over a longer period of time. The money for our new building, we're still 1 inch from the finish line. We've not got that final piece of paper. But if we can get that 1.9 or however much it ends up being, $1 million toward a new building, that's going to be huge. Without that, we're going to be stuck in the building that we're in now for a long time. So that grant is pivotal to us getting that.
My second follow-up question to you, what alternatives are there for the funding you need aside from this renewal should it not pass?
There aren't many. EMS in our county is funded based on property tax and billing revenue. You could generate a little bit more money, maybe $100,000, maybe $200,000, if we more aggressively build, but that wouldn't begin to replace the $2.1 million. So, and I hate to even think about it, but if the levy would fail, pretty much our EMS system would be gutted.
Thank you, Todd.
It's always better to be late with McDonald's breakfast deal. Because when your friend isn't on time to pick you up, the only thing that can make up for that is McDonald's breakfast.
Right now, get a sausage McMuffin with hash browns or a sausage biscuit with hash browns. Just $2.50.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Price and participation may vary.
Choose a Genesis primary care provider as your go-to medical partner to manage your health needs. When you do, you'll have the benefit of MyChart, the secure electronic medical record system from Epic, the leading health information software company. Genesis Primary Care has offices conveniently located in Muskingum, Perry, and Coshocton counties. To find a Genesis primary care provider who is accepting new patients, make one call, 740-455-7500, and we'll help you find the right provider in the right location for you.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service for their local forecast 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Jeff Drennan Ford, 801 South 2nd Street, Coshocton. And always remember, when you're thinking of buying a new car, it's time to talk to Jeff.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center has been proudly recognized as a 2021 Top 100 Hospital in the Nation by Fortune and IBM Watson Health. This distinction demonstrates our ongoing commitment to patient-centered care right here in Coshocton. With over 6,000 hospitals in the nation, we are proud of our employees and staff whose hard work and dedication to our patients made us a top 100 hospital. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Lock Stitch Upholstery offers full service, vehicle, boat, motorcycle, and RV interior repairs. For full interior restoration, your vehicle will not leave the garage. The experts at Lock Stitch Upholstery will come to your garage, remove the interior, then repair and reinstall your interior looking brand new. For free estimates by appointment only, call 740-610-1852.
Partly sunny today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, warm with highs in the upper 70s, chance of rain 50%. For tonight, showers likely with scattered thunderstorms in the evening, then showers and isolated thunderstorms after midnight, mild, with lows in the mid-70s, chance of rain near 100%. And for tomorrow, cloudy with showers in the morning, then a partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon, much cooler, less humid, with highs in the upper 50s. Chance of rain is 90%. It is currently 71 degrees in Coshocton as we return to our replay of last night's Meet the Candidate event from the Coshocton County Career Center.
Up next is the Oxford Township Trustee race. Michelle Carpenter is one of two incumbents on the ballot, along with Travis Hahn. Travis isn't here tonight, and it's a vote for two candidates situation, so neither Travis nor Michelle will be in danger of not getting reelected. However, Michelle still wanted to come here tonight and address the listeners and the folks here at the Coshocton County Career Center. So now let's bring up to the podium Michelle Carpenter. Michelle.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good evening, everyone. My name is Michelle A. Carpenter, and I'm running for reelection as Oxford Township Trustee. I have served 2 years of an unexpired term, and I am in the fourth year of my first four-year term. Since my election in November of 2015, I have served as Vice Chair of Trustees, as the representative to the District Advisory Council for the Coshocton County Board of Health, and as the alternate representative to the Regional Planning Commission. I've also represented Oxford Township at many other meetings, and have attended required classes sponsored by both the Auditor of State and the Ohio Ethics Commission. In December of 2020, I graduated from OTALA, the Ohio Township Association's Leadership Academy program, a series of 10 courses, a general workshop, and a federal component to enhance knowledge, decision-making, and leadership skills to those serving in township government. I have attended all meetings in the past 6 years except for two, one due to illness and one due to a death in the family. I work with township staff on projects both out in the township and at the township building. I continue to answer all calls made to me and meet with our residents to answer their questions or concerns and carry those issues on to our meetings. We are repairing and resurfacing as many roads as our budget allows, and recently we were able to secure and are expecting the installation of a gated railroad crossing on one of our heavily traveled roads. I want to thank the Coshocton County Business and Professional Women, the Coshocton County Farm Bureau, the Coshocton County Career Center, WTNS Radio, and Jeremy Scott for hosting this Meet the Candidates forum. I believe I have served Oxford Township well over the past 6 years, and I would be honored to continue serving as your trustee. I respectfully ask for your support and your vote to reelect Michelle A. Carpenter, Oxford Township trustee. Thank you.
Michelle, as I mentioned, you're in no danger of losing your seat. Two on the ballot, two to be voted for. So what brought you out here tonight?
Well, I think it's important that even though as incumbent and as being unopposed in my election, that I put forth the effort to come out and speak to not only the residents of my township, but the residents of the county, to let them know that on the township level, we really do care and we take our job seriously. And I just want to be able to come out and have a chance and speak on behalf of my township.
I love to play the hypothetical game. This will not be the first or the last. Or this is the first, but it won't be the last hypothetical question that you'll hear tonight. Meet the Candidates 2025. You'll be standing on this stage, and I want you to pick one thing you'll be touting that night, 4 years from tonight, that got accomplished during this next term in office.
Well, it's been a great benefit to our township with the new gas tax. I know people hate paying more taxes, but the gas tax has been a great new source of funding for our township. We have 26 miles of roads that we have to take care of, and it's been a blessing that it's been able to give us more funds so that each year as we drive through the township and try to decide who we can help that year, which roads are the most heavily traveled, what condition they're in, when they got a turn the last time on having their roads resurfaced or a major repair done, that is something that hopefully will continue on into the future, that I'll be able to report we've been able to do more for our residents.
So basically, continuation of everything that's happened and anything new that you hope to get accomplished these next 4 years.
That's right. Thank you, Jeremy.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. Coshocton County Career Center is seeking an additional tax for the benefit of Coshocton County Career Center for the purpose of current operating expenses at a rate not exceeding $1 mil for each $1 of valuation, which amounts to 10 cents for each $100 of valuation for a continuing period of time commencing in 2021, first due in calendar year 2022. Career Center Superintendent Matt Colvin is here to put that in layman's terms and tell us all about this levy. Matt.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good evening. Our Coshocton County Career Center is seeking a $1 mil continuous operating levy. This money will go towards maintaining and expanding on our career tech opportunities we offer our students. Supporting our local students comes at the same rate as our PI levy from 2015, alleviating any financial strain on our taxpayers. With our increased enrollment, we need funds for operating expenses. Operating levy money can be used for operating expenses as well as permanent improvement expenses. We view this as an opportunity to cover all bases without having to return to our taxpayers for additional money down the road. We have a vision for our career center and its students. We are preparing our students for job opportunities today that weren't here yesterday. We have to be visionaries, always looking ahead. We do research and talk with businesses to see the need that they see in our community and workforce and what is lacking. We hope our taxpayers will understand that there is no better investment than investing in kids. By supporting this levy, taxpayers are not only investing in the current and future students of our career center, but they are also investing in the economic growth of our community. Our career center offers something to our community that can't be overlooked, and that's an infrastructure for employability. Businesses will be reluctant to enter into a community that doesn't have an employability infrastructure. Our career center has not been to our voters since 2001, for operating money. We currently have our highest enrollment at our career center, which includes 47% of our county's juniors. This is a reflection of what this building means to our local students. We are excited about our new foreign partnerships with COTC, as well as local and surrounding area businesses. Our students cannot afford to lose the momentum we've gained. We prepare our students for in-demand jobs as well as train them to become productive, contributing members and workers and leaders in our community. For many of our students, we are their last chance. allow us to continue to give our students the support and opportunities they need to thrive. This 1 mil continuous operating levy will replace our 2015 PI levy, which ran out, costing homeowners the same rate. Benefits of our Career Center include we have trained more than 10,000 students here through our Career Center. We offer in-demand career fields for our students right in their own backyards. We have a 96% placement rate of students who graduate here enter right into either a career, college, military, or internship. We reduce unemployment, crime, and high school dropout rates by giving county students preferred training in a career field of their choice. Many of our local leaders in our community are graduates of our Career Center. We prepare our students to be both career and college ready, and all 13 of our programs offer opportunities for college credit to our students. By supporting our Career Center levy, you are supporting our students and their dreams. Thank you for your attention and for being a part of tonight's event.
Matt, you mentioned the fact that the Career Center offers job placement and it's an investment in the community in that sense. But I didn't attend the Career Center. Neither does anyone I'm associated with. And you can't guarantee that any student will stay in Coshocton County. How else can this benefit me?
Well, I'll tell you, statistics show that 76% of your people in your community are living within 18 miles of where they grew up. I'm one of those statistics. I grew up in this area. Many of you sitting out here today might be part of that statistic as well. So our kids that graduate here are staying here, and they're being productive in our communities. We have a gentleman who just graduated last year, got a full ride scholarship to the Air Force. We have another one doing an internship. He's in college for engineering at Cincinnati. We've got ones doing internships at certain companies. We have students coming in. Businesses coming in, watching our kids, seeing what they're doing, seeing that skills that they bring to the table, and they're able to graduate college debt-free and earn premium wages due to the training they receive here at the Career Center.
The Career Center passed a levy in 2015 for roughly the same amount of money that this one would be for. What's the difference between that one and this one?
That levy in 2015 was a permanent improvement levy. Permanent improvement levies can be used for permanent improvements, which is to your buildings or grounds, and it has to have at least a 5-year life expectancy. Operating money is used for utilities, supplies, staffing, plus it covers everything that a permanent improvement levy covers. So it's basically killing two birds with one stone at the same rate.
I'm going to come back to sort of the same question that I asked Mr. Schroyer a little bit earlier. Hypothetically speaking, if this levy does not pass, what alternatives are there for the funding you need?
Well, with schools, you know, it's income tax or property tax. And unfortunately, we've been deficit spending for a while. And the only way to get out of deficit spending is to increase revenue, which is through levies, or decrease expenditures, which in education deals with your staffing. We are 15% deficit spending. So in order to get back to ground zero, we'd have to cut 15% of our staff, which when you have 40 staff members, take 15%, that's 6 staff members. We're already bare bones here at the Career Center. Don't believe me? Come visit. I'll show you around, and you can see the lack of staff that we have. So cutting those 6 staff members would then probably end up in loss of programs. Loss of programs, you have to have 12 programs to be a standalone career center. So instead of your tax dollars staying here, those students would be bused to Mideast in Zanesville or Buckeye in Tuscarawas County, and your tax dollars would go with those students to those areas.
Thank you, Matt.
Welcome.
Lafayette Township incumbent trustees Tracy Schlarb and James Shoemaker will go against challengers Gary Buchanan Jr., Gordon Dillon Jr., and Mark McCombs Jr. And two of those 5 will be elected. Mark McCombs Jr. is here with us tonight to speak on his candidacy. Mark.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Mark A. McCombs Jr. I lived in Coshocton County my whole life, except when I went to college. I got my bachelor's degree in education. This will be my first year running for Lafayette Township. The reason I'm running, a lot of people within the community has come out and asked me to run with my background in excavating. I worked 12 years at Conesville Power Plant, and now I'm working with William Alberts.
Okay, Mark, thank you. When I think of township trustees, the first thing that comes to my mind are roads. In your opinion, what's the state of the roadways right now in Lafayette Township?
Most of ours are paved. They're not too bad. The berms and the culverts need a little work. We're working with Alberts. We do a lot of their grading work. Actually, I did the last grading work, and we put the crowns back in the road. Talking to a lot of the people that are more concerned in safety with the winter months of our roads, I'd like to see more plating, salting stuff.
You mentioned your background in excavating. Why would that be a benefit to your seat as trustee?
Just knowing how to crown the roads properly, getting the water away from the roads so it's not washing the ditches or washboards or potholes and stuff like that.
This would be your first foray into politics.
Yes, sir.
Why did you choose this moment?
Like I said before, actually one of the other candidates came up to the house to sign his paper, and after I got to sign it, my wife said, "Hey, you'd be great at that stuff. You enjoy working with the community and stuff like that." And plus, like I said before, people in the community came to me and asked me if I'd like to run. And I said, yeah, sure.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Another countywide levy is a renewal for library expenses, a half mil for every dollar of valuation, amounting to a nickel for every $100 for 5 years starting in 2022. Library Director Jennifer Austin is here to represent that levy. Jennifer.
I'm here to represent the Coshocton County Library Levy Committee. Coshocton County District Library, commonly known as Coshocton Public Library, which does include the West Lafayette Branch Library and the Bookmobile Services, will be on the ballot with a renewal. This is not a new tax. This is a renewal of the original half mil property tax with a 5-year term that would generate approximately $380,429 per year for day-to-day operations. Supported operations include maintaining additional 15 hours of operation added in 2018, maintaining increased spending of print, audiovisual, and digital resources, such as Hoopla and the Historical Newspaper Index, supporting continued growth of outreach to homebound patrons, nursing homes, schools, and daycare centers, and supporting quality programs for all ages. The cost to the owner of a $100,000 home is $14.56 per year, or $1.22 per month. Taxes would be collected beginning in 2023 when the current levy expires. As you head to the polls, we ask that you please consider the following. In 2019, 177,959 individuals visited the library. 367,810 physical items were borrowed. 50,288 digital materials were also borrowed. 27,658 individuals used available computers or free Wi-Fi. 724 programs were offered with 17,978 individuals in attendance. 257 visits were made to homebound patrons, those unable to visit the library, and 556 bookmobile stops were made. We appreciate your time and consideration.
Thank you, Jennifer. Traditionally speaking, when we think of libraries, we think of a place to rent books for free. But as is noted on the Levy campaign's Facebook page, electronic materials are becoming increasingly more popular, with over 50,000 having been checked out in the year 2019. So if I see that stat, Jennifer, and I question how much money could be really needed to, in essence, maintain a bunch of computers and not physical materials, what would you say to me?
I would tell you that, unfortunately, publishers are not easy to work with when it comes to digital content. The cost of a digital ebook can easily cost 3 times the cost of a print version, and so they are exponentially more expensive. They also expire, and so when we purchase one print copy of a book, it can easily circulate 50, 60, 100 times. if we're able to repair it with quality supplies and so forth. The way publishers release ebooks to libraries, and ebooks meaning also audiobooks, comic books, all of the digital resources, they expire. And so sometimes they'll give us like a 24-month, 12-month, 6-month term that we can purchase, and then we have to repurchase that book again and again. And I can tell you that the 2019 numbers are going to be trumped by this year, 2020 as well. We're still seeing 60% increases per month with digital content usage currently, which I really thought we'd hit our plateau last year with the whole pandemic and not being opened. We thought for sure they would be higher. It was only normal, but they're continuing to increase. So patrons are certainly wanting digital services.
And I have to ask you this question as well, the obligatory hypothetical. If voters say no to this, what is Plan B?
So unfortunately, it would mean pretty much the opposite of everything that I talked about maintaining. It would, of course, mean cutting hours of operation, which we were able to increase in 2018. We added 15 additional hours of being open to the public. So we'd have to look at our hours of operation, which, of course, then links to staffing. We'd be looking at cutting staffing. We would be reducing funds in our print, in our digital collections, because across the board, with the passing of the original levy, we increased those line items. So we'd be looking at cutting all of those. We wouldn't be able to do as many homebound visits, outreach visits, daycare, schools, which we increased. We'd be looking at cutting all of that because of cutting staffing and cutting programming, too.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Jackson Township voters will choose two among incumbent Dexter Conkle and challengers Cord Stottlemyre and Tom Webb. Mr. Webb has graced us with his presence here tonight, and here he is, Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom Webb. I'm running for Jackson Township trustee, and I've been a resident of Jackson Township my whole life. And I enjoy helping people, and I'm retired now, so I can have the time to fill the need, I guess. Thank you.
Tom, when you look at the issues and challenges facing Jackson Township, where can your life's experience come in handy?
I did excavating on my own for a long time. And then I worked at the power plant, running machinery and that sort of stuff.
Your wife, Shelley, is the fiscal officer for the township. If you're elected, you may face accusations, fairly or not, that the Webbs control the township. How do you plan to rebut those claims?
I guess she's
here with us tonight for those in the radio audience.
I guess I don't know what to say. She does.
Good answer. Tom Webb, thank you so much. That was honesty. So we heard earlier about the Coshocton County Career Center levy. But the Career Center isn't the only educational entity trying to get a levy passed. Riverview will be placing on the ballot a 5-year, 4.8 mil renewal levy, which would equal 48 cents on every $100 evaluation. Riverview Superintendent Chuck Rinkus is going to speak on behalf of that levy. Chuck.
Thank you, Jeremy. I want to thank the BPW and the Coshocton Farm Bureau for sponsoring tonight's event. Riverview Local School District is very proud of our past and even more excited for our future. We do have a 4.8 mil operating levy on the November ballot. This is a renewal levy. That means no new taxes to our voters. This levy has been renewed 5 times since it was first voted on in 1991. In fiscal year 2020, this levy collected $1,335,779 in Coshocton County. For the owner of a $100,000 home, you would pay $93.55 a year to support this levy, or in other words, $7.80 per month to support your local school district again, with this renewal levy. This levy is for operating the district and pays for things included but not limited to salaries, benefits, electricity, gas, fuel, and obviously classroom supplies. The Riverview Local School District thanks the community and for their past and continued support of this levy to operate our district. This renewal levy of 4.8 mils is crucial to our district. Our students and staff encourage you to come out and vote on November 2nd. Your vote does count. Our district has always been known for the excellent education we provide our students. This renewal levy is key as we remain proud of our past and even more excited for our future. Thank you.
Chuck, the district got $4.6 million in COVID relief funds. In August, you said you were going to use that money for learning loss, or, in other words, after-school programs, some mental health initiatives, an extra custodian at Warsaw, and for the HVAC system at both the junior high and high school. So as a voter, after you got all that money, why should I be asked for more tax money?
Well, this renewal levy is a no new tax, so you've been paying for this all along, all right? We like to emphasize that, number one. Number two, the money that we got in the ESSER money or ARP in the third round, that money has been well used to make sure our kids are staying up. Everybody in here, as we said before, has been affected by COVID. Everybody in some form or fashion or another. Between our summer programs, our after-school programs, transportation for those programs, putting things, mental health counselors into our schools, we've used that money, that one-time money that we have, because it's not renewal money, that one-time money, very well for both our students, our staff, and our community.
Voters may remember Riverview levy passed last year. What's the difference between that levy and this one?
Yeah, we had a 1.9 mil permanent improvement levy. All right, that only goes for our buildings, buses, and technology. That's the only three things that levy can be used for. This 4.8 mil is for operating expenses to operate the district. That is the difference between the two.
Thank you very much, Chuck.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Two of the three Bethlehem Township trustee seats will be contested, with incumbents Kurt Pope and Cal Shrimplin being challenged by James Hoy and Mark McCombs Sr. We heard from the junior McCombs earlier, and now we hear from the senior version, Mark.
First, I'd like to thank the PPW and the Shock Farm Bureau for putting this on every year. This is my third event at this. My name is Mark McCombs Sr. I'm running for the two open seats in Bethlehem Township for trustee. I said I believe that there's time for change starting now through election. I also believe there's a real need for continuous improvements on the township roads and infrastructure every year and not just on election years. I mean, once every 2 years, the roads are immaculate. I'm running for trustee for all the residents of Bethlehem Townships, whether you live on a gravel road, a paved road, or one of our chip and seal roads. I want to thank all the people who have been calling me and asking me to run again and their support. It's been a real kind of heart-wrenching thing, but anyway. There are four candidates running. There's two open seats. I'm here asking for your support and your vote for Bethlehem Township trustee. Thank you.
Mark, you're in a unique position here tonight as the only trustee candidate who's been a trustee before. As an incumbent, you were voted out of office as you came in third place out of three candidates. What makes you think that you can win 2 years later?
I would say by the support I have now and from the phone calls I have, that people want me back, sometimes you need to step back and let things go and then move forward when change can be made.
I'm going to piggyback off that first question. What would you do differently in office this time around from your last time?
I probably wouldn't do much different. What I would do is continue to strive to improve what I'd already started when I was there last time.
The single biggest issue facing the township right now, what is that?
The single biggest issue right now would probably be your budgets, what you can get, what you don't have. I know the gas tax has improved a lot of what we can do. I still think there's more monies out there that you can get if you go look for them.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
You're listening to a replay of last night's Meet the Candidates event at the Coshocton County Career Center. We'll take a break, and we come back, we will hear from candidates for the Riverview School Board. For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
I'm John. You may know me as a commercial lender, but I'm also a craftsman and a dog dad.
At Park National Bank, we're more than our job titles, and you're more than an account number. You get personal attention and direct access to a caring, compassionate banker who respects and responds to your needs and goals. Find John or a banker near you at parknationalbank.com. Park National Bank, where you mean more. Member FDIC, parknationalbank.com.
Looking for a job? Papa John's Pizza is now hiring drivers. Apply at www.pleaseapplyonline/pjz.com.
If you have diabetes, Dr. David Irwin and Dr. Danielle Irwin-Ellis highly recommend an annual eye exam, which includes retinal photography and a dilated retinal exam. They have the newest equipment that helps them diagnose any diabetic-related eye problem. The longer you have uncontrolled diabetes, the higher your risk of developing diabetes in your eyes. Make sure to call Irwin's family Eye Care at 622-2270 to set up your appointment.
Partly sunny skies today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, warm with highs in the upper 70s. Chance of rain 50%. For tonight, showers likely with scattered thunderstorms in the evening, then showers with isolated thunderstorms after midnight, mild with lows in the mid 50s. Chance of rain near 100%. Saturday, cloudy with showers in the morning, then a partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon. Much cooler, less humid, with highs in the upper 50s. Chance of rain, 90%. It is currently 73 degrees in Coshocton.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
The race for Riverview School Board is crowded. Seven candidates vying for two seats. Incumbent Cordell Brown is being challenged by Kennedy Blakely, Matthew Cronin, Mindy Duncan, Michael Warshauer, Charlie Wright, and Bethany Young. We have six of the seven on stage with us tonight. First up to speak on her candidacy, Kennedy Blakely. Kennedy.
Thank you, Jeremy. My name is Kennedy Blakely. Many of you probably know me a little better by my maiden name, which is Kennedy Webb. I have been a lifelong resident of the Riverview community. 90% of my family has attended Riverview, going back to my great uncle, who was a member of the first ever graduating class. I have a deep love for this community. I always have. And I would really like to join the Board of Education to help and continue the tradition of excellence that we have at Riverview Local School District. I am a 2015 graduate of the district, as well as a 2018 graduate of The Ohio University with a BS in communications. I believe that I have a unique perspective, as I am young, which is very obvious. However, I see that as a strength because I have the perspective of someone who graduated a mere 6 years ago. I have a great grasp on what it feels like to be a student. I have educators in my family, so I care a lot about what it's like to be a teacher. And I assist my sister and my brother-in-law in raising my two beautiful nephews and one beautiful niece. The boys are both in the school district. And I am looking forward in the coming few years to having children with my recently married husband, Nick. So I definitely want to make sure that the district continues down this path of excellence and continues the fiscal responsibility Some of my goals, if elected, would be to improve communications with the community, ensure the best for all children. The kids always 110% of the time must come first. I do have a unique perspective as well on the community, as I was a news reporter for nearly half a decade with WTNS Radio. I also worked briefly at Wiz TV in Zanesville. And during my time at WTNS, I had the privilege of covering the Riverview Local School Board meetings every single month. So I have a great grasp of what's been working, what has been a challenge for the district, especially, in my opinion, some of those challenges would be funding from the state. I feel that the state really is a little out of touch as far as rural Ohio goes. I'm sure many of you would agree with that. The funding is based upon land, and they look at Riverview District and they say, you guys have a lot of land. You must be really wealthy. And we all know that that is unfortunately not the case. And then they look at a school district like New Albany and they say, you don't have very much land. You must be very poor. So I would really want to aid in lobbying the state level. I have a lot of experience dealing with legislators as well and have good established relationships with them through my current employment. And I just want to make sure that the community has a strong foundation for, you know, my family members, my future kids, and all of the future of the community, all of the kiddos here. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you, BPW, Jeremy, and my fellow candidates. And thank you for coming out tonight.
Follow-up, Senator.
Sorry to run off.
Kennedy, while Coshocton and Ridgewood have both at separate times instituted in-school mask mandates, Riverview has so far avoided that route. If elected and a vote comes up on whether or not to enforce such a mandate, how are you voting? And I want you to defend your position.
Thank you, Jeremy. For starters, I would definitely want to get as much information regarding that subject as I possibly could. I'm pretty well versed currently. Personally, I believe that wearing a mask should be a personal choice. Many of you are wearing masks here tonight. Many of you are not. That's what makes America great. You can choose what you would like to do for you and your family. I would probably vote against it unless it was mandated by the local or state level.
Seven people are running for two seats, six of whom are challengers. This signifies, in my mind, some sort of common belief that there needs to be a change in the way things are done. What change are you looking for?
Thank you. I believe that while our current board is and has been doing an excellent job, which is very evident in the, as I said, the tradition of excellence here at Riverview, I do believe that it is time for a new and fresh perspective. And as someone who is young, I feel that I could bring that change and that new perspective. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, I would like to improve communication between the board and the community and really encourage folks to come out to the meetings and be a part of the discussions, as well as reach out online, which I know the district has been verging into that already, and encourage folks to participate virtually as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Matt Cronin. Matt.
Hello, everybody. My name is Matthew Cronin. I graduated from Riverview in 2005. I actually spent my last 2 years of high school in this very building, down that hallway and to the right in the law enforcement classroom. I am also a licensed foster parent. I've been doing that now for about 2.5 years. I am also a certified surrogate parent through the Ohio Department of Education. And I am standing up here tonight talking to you, wanting to run for the Riverview Board of Education, because, you know, I've had, as a foster parent and just as a parent in general, some very not pleasant experiences that I would not like anybody else to have to go through. So I'm up here wanting to offer change, a fresh perspective on the district, on what it means to be a Riverview Black Bear, what it means to give the children the best education that we can. I feel one of the issues that the district has, like probably the most single important issues, is funding. When I graduated in 2005, Riverview had a lot more programs, had a lot more diversity in programs, and a lot of that has gone away, and the biggest single issue with that, for that going away, a reason, is funding. when you don't have the same amount of money coming in as you used to, you have to make cuts. It's just like your home budget. You have this amount of money, and you have to do the best you can with that amount of money to give our kids the best education possible. The district, you know, the board has tried to, you know, pass new levies, things like that, for funding. I think it's time that we have somebody that's going to roll up their sleeves, do a little bit of homework, a little bit of research, and find some other ways, more creative thinking outside of the box ways to get some funding. It's true that most schools, the two biggest, well, single biggest, you know, are tax levies, either property or income tax. But there are other ways for schools to get funding, like donations, you know. That, I think, is going to be by far the best way for you going forward to build off of donations. I can take you out where I live, and I can, within 5 minutes, show you probably five or six individual families that live in sheds or in campers that cannot afford a levy. And when that comes up for a new levy, not a renewal levy like the one that's coming up now, but a new one, I'm sure those people are going to vote no because they can't afford it. So instead of trying to force a levy and say, hey, you got to pay this much, you know, this time, why don't we devise some sort of a donation system that will allow people to give what they can when they can? Is it going to give us a lot all at once? No, but it's a start. We have to start somewhere. And I think that's a good starting point. People also need to understand that...
Matt, I'm sorry to cut you off, but your time's up.
Sorry.
Matt, thank you for that. I'm going to ask you at least one of the same two questions I asked to Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Coshocton, Ridgewood, both at separate times, have instituted in-school mask mandates. Riverview so far has avoided doing so. Should that issue come up, if you are elected, how will you vote and defend your position?
Well, I can honestly stand here and tell you I would vote no. And the reason I vote no is because, like I said, I'm a foster parent. I have 10 kids at home, which are 10 very good examples of what a mask mandate can do to a child when they go to school, especially in a school that doesn't have any air conditioning and is very cramped and very hot. Or on a bus that doesn't have any air conditioning or is very cramped or very hot, they come home and they pull that mask off and sweat is dripping off of them. And you ask them, you know, are you okay? Can you breathe? Well, kind of. And then you ask them, well, was it like that all day? Well, yeah. Well, then you ask them, did that make it hard to concentrate in class? Did that make it hard to do your work? Yeah. To me, this is the United States of America. We have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that says that we have the right to choose. And I stand by that.
Matt, you talked a lot about change in your opening statement, so I'm not going to ask you a generic question about change.
Right.
But the biggest change that it sounded to me like you want to see instituted is that of different avenues of funding, specifically donations. How, in your life experience, have you accrued enough of said experience to solicit such donations?
Well, the biggest avenue, the biggest experience I've had is through the foster care system. Majority of the foster care system, when it comes to clothing foster kids, when it comes to giving foster kids school supplies, shoes, it's all done on donations. It's all done on the foster agencies going out and rolling up their sleeves and putting the work in and asking people for help, whether that is other government agencies or just other people in general. There has recently been a lot of new businesses open up that give donations to foster children for that very reason. I don't think the school should be a whole lot different. There are organizations out there that we can go to, like Dale Earnhardt Jr. Foundation. He has a foundation just for children and education. I think that's a good place to start. We can talk to them. Even if they're not willing to give us a monetary, maybe so they can give us some ideas.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. You're listening to a replay of last night's Meet the Candidates event at the Coshocton County Career Center. Let's get back to our replay.
Our third candidate is challenger Mindy Duncan.
Good evening. I want to first start by thanking the Coshocton BPW and the Coshocton County Farm Bureau and WTNS for sponsoring this event. My name is Mindy Duncan. I'm obviously a candidate for a seat on the Riverview Board of Education. I'm 42 years old and a 1997 graduate of Riverview High School. I'm married to Dan, and we have three sons, Bryce, who is a 2019 graduate, Evan is a senior at Riverview, and Braden is a fourth grader at Warsaw Elementary. I am a financial analyst at Kraft Heinz here in Coshocton, where I've been employed for the last 12 years. I'm an organizational advisor for Ridge Runners 4-H Club for the last 10 years, and this last year we've taken on the challenge as the swine rep for Coshocton County Junior Fair. I'm a co-coordinator for the United Way campaign each year at Kraft Heinz, as well as serving as the team manager for our youngest son's travel soccer team. So as you can see, children are my purpose. I have more than 20 years' experience in business finance, with the most recent of those being at Kraft Heinz. I have extensive budgetary experience, and I'm well-versed at working within financial constraints and scrutinizing spending, ensuring necessity, engaging criticality. Fiscal responsibility and accountability are imperative, and I believe that my financial background coupled with my demonstrated ability to lead and work as a team player would make me a valuable asset to the Riverview Board of Education. I decided to run for this position because, as my fellow candidates have said before, I believe that I can provide a fresh new perspective on the board. I can see that we face many challenges ahead, ranging from COVID to staffing to what does the future of the Riverview campus look like. Our board is going to need to be innovative and creative in facing those challenges, ensuring that we are doing what is in the best interest not only of our children and our teachers, but also our community. One of my immediate goals, should I be elected, would be to help form a community engagement committee to serve as the pipeline for the concerns and interests of parents and teachers and members of the Riverview District. I want to ensure that everyone has a voice and that voice is heard when it comes to educational and administrative decisions. I find tremendous value in gaining unique perspectives from individuals all throughout the community, including those who have school-aged children as well as those who do not. I would also work to help strengthen the ties amongst the board members themselves because I believe collaboration is key and working together toward a common goal has never been more important than it is now. Additionally, I would like to see a little bit more of a presence of our board in our buildings. This was a suggestion of one of the teachers that I've spoken with. I know that Mr. Rinkus has already been regularly visiting our different campus locations this year, and I can tell you it hasn't gone unnoticed. People feel like they're being seen and heard, and it's important. So in closing, with me, what you'll get is a woman who is honest and unafraid to stand up for what is right and what is best for our children. I'm someone who is fully invested in our district, and I hope you will consider me as your voice for the future of Riverview. Thank you.
Same formula, Mindy. I'm going to ask you the same first question I've asked the other two, then I will have one unique to you. Again, Coshocton, Ridgewood, at separate times have instituted in-school mask mandates. Riverview so far has not. Should you be elected and that issue comes up for a vote at a school board meeting, how will you vote and why will you vote that way?
So I think that I would first want to assess the situation. Why are we talking about a mask mandate initially? I don't think it's as simple as a yes or a no. It's just going to depend on the circumstances surrounding the situation. Depends on how many COVID cases are we seeing. Do we have five kids that are quarantined, or do we have 300 kids that are quarantined? So I think I need to look at it on a case by case basis and just make the most educated and informed decision at that time.
You and your two other challengers who have spoken here so far have used the term fresh perspective and a need for a fresh perspective on the board. Again, playing the role of that undecided skeptic, what's wrong with the perspective that's there right now?
I wouldn't necessarily say anything is wrong, maybe, with the perspective. I think that new and fresh ideas, though, blended with what has worked in the past, would be a good combination for our board. Don't get me wrong. I totally respect what our board has done for our district. I'm not running because I'm angry about anything or with any decisions that have been made. I just feel like maybe more of a blend of the old and the new together would be much more of a benefit to our district as we move forward into the future.
Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you.
And next up, we hear from Michael Warshauer. Michael.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for pronouncing that correctly.
Not bad for a new boy.
That's right. That's right. My name is Michael Warshauer, and I'm running for the Riverview School Board. I did not graduate from Riverview. I want to be very honest about that. My wife did back in 1989. And my daughters, Abby graduated in 2016 from Riverview, and my daughter Claire graduated in 2019. So I do have some Riverview people in our family, and I've been in the community over 20 years, and I've spent about 30 years in business. I'm employed as a senior project manager for United Healthcare. You know, when we came to Riverview, everything was already in place. The school buildings, the staff, the programs. And we reap the benefits of a quality public education that was provided for us by others. Our daughters walk through those doors and they learn lessons in character and service and academics and the arts and music and athletics that shape them into who they are today. You know, a good education doesn't just prepare you for a job or for more education or to be a good citizen or even military service. It prepares you for life. I didn't expect to spend 30 years in the insurance business, but I was able to make a go of it because people taught me the basics, and I learned how to learn. As I mentioned, we chose the public schools in Riverview to educate our kids, and we were not disappointed. We found a school district that was friendly to our faith. We found people that cared about our daughters, that fed and taught and coached and counseled and transported them to school and to games so that they could have a good, balanced educational experience. And my thanks goes out to all the people that did that just as a regular part of their job, and to my wife, Elizabeth, who did many of those things as their mom. Now about the board. I want there to be a diversity of thought on the school board so that we can work together to implement the best ideas. Republicans don't have all the good ideas. Democrats don't either, and neither do independents like myself. We need men and women, young and young at heart, from various walks of life that make up our community participating. And I'd even be in favor of having a high school student on the board with a voice, not a vote, to attend board meetings to hear their perspective and to learn firsthand how local government can work in a nonpartisan way. We do that here in Coshocton, and that's something to be proud of. As only one member of the board of five, should I have the honor of being elected, I can't promise any specific changes. I can only seek to serve the best interests of the children and the staff.
Michael, I hate to cut you off, but it is time. Thank you. Michael, same formula that we've been following. The question people are already probably sick of hearing, but they're going to hear it a few more times. Coshocton and Ridgewood have each at separate times instituted in-school mask mandates. Riverview so far has not instituted such a mandate. Hypothetically speaking, you're elected. It comes up for a vote. How are you voting on the matter, and why are you voting that way?
I'm not going to commit to a specific vote here. What I'm going to tell you is how I feel. Wearing a mask inhibits communication, social-emotional development, and learning, especially at younger ages. And I think there are better approaches to healthy learning and work environments than to pressure staff and parents in order to achieve a 100% rate of vaccination. Schools that are going to require 100% vaccination may find that they're going to lose jobs, and parents are going to put their kids somewhere else, and we need to think about that.
A phrase that came up in your opening statement was learning how to learn. You're elected to this position. What's the biggest thing you hope to learn?
Well, I hope to learn about education. That may sound funny, but I'm not an educational expert. There are people that have spent their lives in education, and they've got degrees in education. And so I hope to learn about education. One of the wonderful things about our democracy is that we have boards of ordinary people who aren't experts that are given oversight of the experts. And I think that's an important thing in America that we should cherish and protect. And so I have so much to learn about education, but I'm willing to learn, and I've been taught how to learn, and I'm a product of public education, not only at Reynoldsburg High School, but at The Ohio State University.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Our fifth and final challenger here with us tonight is Bethany Young. Bethany.
Hello, good evening. Challenger seems so daunting. My name is Bethany Young, and of course I'm running for Review School Board. It started out actually about a year and a half ago when I started paying attention to the board meetings when they introduced the levy. My husband and I started paying more attention to the board meetings because we wanted to become more informed on what was going on in the district. And as a result of that, we started asking more questions and getting more involved, and we saw a need. And for me, it is incredibly important to be involved with children in the community. We live in a community that is great and is supportive of one another. And when you see that there's a need there, you should have the desire to fill it. And so that's where it's sort of stemmed from, this whole idea of being a board member. I have never run for anything before in my life, so this is all new to me and has been a challenge. But I think it's been a great learning experience. I have met an incredible amount of people I didn't know before, and have learned a lot from the people that I've spoken with. As far as background information, I was a graduate of Riverview in 2001. I went on to OSU and got my psychology degree. And I have lived in this community for the last probably 24 years. I actually started out in Coshocton. My parents built a house and moved. And so I ended up having to go to Riverview, which was dreadful in the beginning. But it ended up being a great blessing in the end to have an education from there. I have worked with children. I was a paraprofessional at Hopewell for a couple years. I have been a daycare teacher. I was an interim social services director for the extended care facility. I have worked as a case aid worker for children's services, and I worked for job and family services. So these skills that I have acquired from the jobs previous have helped to give me some guidance on how to do things like create more transparency and communication amongst the district, to maybe look and search for needs to, help facilitate fiscal responsibility, and to continue with the education that Riverview is already providing. So those are three of my goals that I want to work toward if elected, and it'd be great to have that experience and that opportunity.
All right, Bethany. Okay. As we've learned here tonight, Coshocton and Ridgewood, at separate times, have instituted in-school mask mandates. So far, Riverview has not. If you're elected and that issue does come up, how are you going to vote for that? And why are you going to take that position?
Okay. So, as you've heard several times before, I am not in favor of the mandate. The reason why is because I feel that it should be a choice. Mandating masks is looked upon as a medical decision, and I am in no way, shape, or form a person with a position to give out medical advice. It should be a choice. There are some people that masks are not good for them to wear for whatever reason, whether it be a physical issue, or otherwise.
You said that your experience in your various previous lives has made you a little bit more adept at transparency. Okay. Transparency in government is a term we always hear from anybody running for any office, county, state, national. Explain that. Explain why we should believe that you will be able to bring that transparency to the seat?
Okay. Transparency is a word that is often used by people, and it's not always often found. Over the last year and a half, I have been attending board meetings and asking questions and finding information. As well as asking questions and finding information, I have been attempting to share that information with my fellow people. I have used different avenues on Facebook, as well as conversing with people to let them know about upcoming monthly meetings and to share the information that I've learned in those meetings. We can talk about transparency all we want, but if we aren't actually doing it, it doesn't really help. So I really value the opportunity to have open dialogue with people.
Thank you so much, Bethany.
All right, thank you.
Lastly, we hear from our incumbent, Mr. Cordell Brown.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
All right. I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight, supporting our community and the many different issues we face. One of them is election of board members to Riverview Board. Most of you know that I'm the founder of Echo in Hills Village. In 1967, my wife and I came to Coshocton as two very young adults with this idea to build a ministry for disabled. When that happened, many of you, well, not many of you, because most of the ones that thought I was nuts and crazy are no longer with us. But those individuals helped to forge my dream that come through. We started out with $200 and 40 acres of land that my parents donated. Today, that ministry equals the budget of Riverview School and is serving over 400 disabled people throughout Ohio, along with our camping program that is near and dear to me. I chose to run for the fifth term on the board at Riverview because I believe my experience and ability to understand and work with the administration is very important to keep the balance. I also understand the principle that the board is a governing board and not an operational board. As a governing board, we are charged with two major responsibilities. One is to hire the superintendent and the treasurer. Those are the only two that the Board of Riverview actually interviews and hires. We approve other hires. Every board meeting, there's somebody we approve. There are other things that the board does, but as individuals, we should not interfere with the day-to-day operations. That's why we have a solid administration.
Cordell, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up your comments right there. Our timekeeper has stood up and said that that's that. I do have a couple of follow-up questions for you, though. Okay. My first question to you is the same question I've asked to all the other candidates here on the stage tonight. Equal treatment, I gotta ask, incumbent or not, with Coshocton and Ridgewood having instituted mask mandates at different times, but Riverview having not done so, if you are reelected and that does end up coming up at a board meeting, how are you going to vote on it and why will you vote that way?
I will answer that question this way. I will vote the way the administration, after thorough review, will recommend. I personally have never been able to wear a mask because when I do, it gets wet and I don't want to drown that way.
Okay, very good. You are the lone incumbent running for re-election. What have you yet to accomplish in your terms so far on the board that you hope to see accomplished with your next hypothetical term?
The thing that I hope to see accomplished is the... I don't want to use the word consolidation, but the reconfiguration of the district so that we can continue to provide the quality education that Riverview is known for. That's why I am continuing to run. I believe that's what is number one in thank you. And I want to thank everyone for allowing me and my dear wife the privilege of serving this community for the past 50 plus years.
Thank you, Cordell.
We have received several large truckloads of Lazy Boy recliners in the last several weeks, so our Lazy Boy inventory is at the best level it has been for a long time. This is Trish from Wilson Carpet and Furniture, and stop by today while our Lazy Boy recliner selection is good and pick out your new Lazy Boy. We have power recliners, rocker recliners, and wallaways in a variety of styles and sizes. Wilson Carpet and Furniture, 230 Main Street, Coshocton, a Lazy Boy comfort studio.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Have you ever thought about volunteering, helping others, making a difference, being part of a team? If yes, then listen up. We think it's time that you added a new suit to your wardrobe. Become a member of the Jackson Township Volunteer Fire Department. All equipment is provided and paid training is available. Stipend program and paid per call for active members. Make a difference by helping in your community. Jackson Township Fire is located at 887 State Route 541, Coshocton. You can call 740-502-3809 or 740-291-8181 or email jacksontownshipfire8@gmail.com for more information.
Get the local weather forecast by calling Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. Ford is America's best-selling brand, and we've got the selection, the financing, and the service at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
This look at the weather is brought to you by CleanRite Carpet Cleaners. Before you even think about renting one of those disgusting dirty machines, call someone who will do it the right way. Stacy Young with CleanRite Carpet Cleaners has over 30 years of experience. CleanRite Carpet Cleaners, it's not the only way, but it's the right way. For a free estimate, call 740-622-8392.
Partly sunny today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, warm with highs in the upper 70s, chance of rain 50%. For tonight, showers likely with scattered thunderstorms in the evening, and showers with isolated thunderstorms after midnight, mild, with lows in the mid-50s, chance of rain near 100%. And for tomorrow, cloudy with showers in the morning, then a partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon, much cooler, less humid with highs in the upper 50s, chance of rain is 90%. It is currently 73 in Coshocton. It's 10:25 as we return to our replay of last night's Meet the Candidates event from the Coshocton County Career Center. And now let's learn about the proposed 0.5% sales tax increase to support a justice center in Coshocton County.
Perhaps the most publicized and, dare I even say, controversial levy on the ballot pertains to the 0.5% sales tax increase, the proceeds of which would be used to construct the proposed new justice center at the former steel ceiling site on 3rd Street. There are many on this levy's committee, but the chosen one for tonight to speak on that levy's behalf is Coshocton County Sheriff Jim Crawford. Sheriff.
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you, everyone. Good evening. Thank you to our hosts for this wonderful evening. Tonight, I want to ask for your support for the new Justice Center. For more than 20 years, our county officials have worked on replacing our jail. This project isn't something that was just thrown together overnight. It has been in the spotlight for a long, long time, and a lot of thought and planning has been gone into this project. The benefits and who will benefit from it. First and foremost, it will benefit my employees. It'll benefit them in ways that they won't be as assaulted as often as they are currently. We've had more assaults on our COs that work in the jail in the past 5 years than we have in the past 20. It will give us the ability to hold lawbreakers accountable. It will allow us to operate within compliance with the minimum jail standards set by the state. Ultimately, it will benefit our entire community. What will the 0.5% temporary sales tax cost? Again, I said temporary because the sales tax, once the loan is paid off, it will go away. The breakdown of the 0.5% will cost you 50 cents on $100. The best part of that, vehicles and watercraft are exempt. Another benefit to this sales tax is that tourism brings over $50 million into our community. That'll be $250,000 of tax revenue that'll go towards the Justice Center. As if you check our roster, not every inmate currently is a Coshocton County resident. When will this be built and how long? The project will take about 18 months, so we're estimating at least 2 years before completion. The sales tax increase won't happen until April 22nd, 2022. I'm running out of time. Our current facility, why is this so important? Our current facility does not have the means to house the number of offenders that should be incarcerated. Lack of housing leads to lack of consequences, which will ultimately lead to a higher crime rate. If the criminal element knows we will lock them up, it'll be a huge deterrent from them committing crimes within our community.
Sheriff, I'm going to have to cut you off there.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Just doing as I'm told by the boss back there. Sheriff, you mentioned the fact that right now you don't have the capacity that's necessary to house all the inmates that are on your roster. Instead of constructing something entirely new, why not just add on slash enhance what already exists?
Currently, our facility is stated by this or mandated by the state to only house 15. That's based on the square footage that we currently have. In order to hold the anticipated 126 inmates as proposed with the new facility, we would need about another half a block, which is currently unavailable where we are currently at.
So then what will be done with the current Justice Center?
Hopefully it'll be tore down and put back into the revenue base.
One of the issues that's been called into question is the environmental aspect of the steel ceiling site where this proposed Justice Center would be built. One citizen even called into the radio station and asked why, his words, not mine, the county would build a Justice Center on such a dump. So what can you say about the sanitation of the steel ceiling site?
I have to rely on the experts on this one. The Port Authority did a EPA evaluation. They had experts come in. BJAM Environmental is also a consultant, I believe, that put in time and effort into giving us a clean bill of health on this property. Minimal additional layers need to go into when we build. However, we've got the green light to do that.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
We're a farm store, a family store, a look what I found store. We're a store made for real people and some real beasts. We're a hey neighbor kind of store and an everyday low price store. We're Rural King and we're working hard to be your favorite store. These deals are so hot, we're starting Black Friday now with Providence Conventional Green Antifreeze. Just $2.99 after rebate, now through December 31st.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
This is Coshocton County Commissioner Dane Shryock. In my years of public service as a law enforcement officer and as your Coshocton County Commissioner, I've seen the need for many changes. The most important change that Coshocton County needs now is the new Justice Center. The current jail is a ticking time bomb, and when it goes off, it will jeopardize and damage the financial stability of Coshocton County. Please help us avoid this financial disaster by voting yes for the Coshocton County sales tax levy on November 2nd, paid for by the Coshocton County Justice Committee, Todd Brown Treasurer.
At Sperry and Rice, what we make makes a difference. Sperry & Rice is an advanced rubber engineering and manufacturing company, and what we make helps kids get to school safely, keeps people warm in the winter, and allows firefighters to do their job and farmers to put food on our tables. When you work with us, you make a difference. Sperry & Rice is hiring. Visit sperryrice.com/careers to learn more and apply.
Looking for a job? Papa John's Pizza is now hiring drivers. Apply at www.pleaseapplyonline/pjz.com.
Lafayette Point in West Lafayette offers 24/7 skilled nursing care, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, memory care, and much more to help you reach your maximum potential. They accept most insurances. For more information, call Misty, the admissions coordinator, at 740-545-6355.
Partly sunny skies today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, warm with highs in the upper 70s, chance of rain 50%. For tonight, showers likely with scattered thunderstorms in the evening, then showers with isolated thunderstorms after midnight, mild, with lows in the mid-50s, chance of rain near 100%. And for tomorrow, cloudy skies with showers in the morning, then a partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon, much cooler, less humid, with highs in the upper 50s, chance of rain is 90%. It is currently 74 degrees in Coshocton. Real McCoy Barbecue across from Hans Quick Mart is open today at 11 o'clock, and they'll remain open until they're sold out, weather permitting. Plan to stop by and enjoy all of your barbecue favorites from Real McCoy Barbecue. It's 10:34, 74 degrees in Coshocton, as we return to our replay of last night's Meet the Candidate event from the Coshocton Academy Career Center. And now let's meet the candidates for Coshocton City Council.
All three at-large seats on Coshocton City Council are up for grabs. Incumbents Michelle Turner-Gantz, Tom Barcroft, and Glenn Mishler will defend their seats against challengers Robert Leist and Rick Williamson. First up will be Ms. Gantz.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I'd first like to thank the Coshocton Business Professional Women and the Coshocton County Fair Farm Bureau, for allowing us to be here tonight. My family chose Coshocton. My grandfather moved here. When a company he worked for went out of business, he decided to stay and build his own business of his own. When my parents married, my mother moved 6 hours from her hometown, again choosing Coshocton. My siblings and I are all raising our children here. Why? Because we understand what it means to live in a city that never lets go of possibility. I've experienced Coshocton's highs and lows firsthand, and I'm so excited that as a community, we're working together and moving forward again. 2 years ago, I said I would strive to build stronger partnerships and increase collaboration with all of our nonprofit organizations working towards the betterment of our city. I said I would continue to work towards improving Main Street opportunities and reclaiming the empty downtown buildings, as well as expanding our efforts to ensure the safety and social well-being of all the people in our community. I'm proud of the progress made, and I commit to continuing to build on those efforts. I understand the job of City Council is to propose, pass, ratify laws and ordinances. More than that is to represent the interests of the community and the people of Coshocton. I've been honored to be a voice in our community. I've been honored to be the voice of our community residents. I listen, I ask questions, and I care very much. I currently serve on the Insurance Benefits, Safety Services, Housing Property Maintenance, and Parks and Recreation Committees. COVID dominated my first term. The majority of our council meetings were held online, but still we were able to work together to make advancements within our city. My experience includes running a third-generation family business in the heart of our town. Realizing there are differences between running a business and serving on city council, I've been able to successfully blend the two. I bring financial understanding, human resource experience, growth, passion, family values, envision to my position on council. I've asked many questions and learned a lot about what it means to serve on City Council the past 2 years. I also realize I have so much more to learn. I'm particularly proud that I could play a part in keeping the MFM expansion in town, increasing our city's use of technology, the upcoming passage of DORA, and supporting our Port Authority and our town Coshocton with their efforts to rebuild and grow our downtown area. I feel the top issues facing our community right now are filling the job openings to ensure we keep industry, retail, and restaurant venues we currently have. I also feel it's important to focus
on... Sorry, Michelle, I'm going to have to cut you off there.
I'm sorry, I wasn't watching. That's okay. Hit me, I'm ready.
All right. You're seeking re-election at a pivotal time for the city, the state, the country, for that matter, as we continue to climb out of this pandemic. When voters go to the polls, what should they keep in mind that you personally and professionally, have done to be a leader in Coshocton during this unprecedented last year and a half, specifically as it relates to COVID?
It's been a really scary year for all of us, I think. Me specifically, I've tried to use social media as a platform to speak out to our community, to let you know that we're working together to do everything that we can to be safe, to stay safe, to understand what is happening. And it was something that was very, very hard to wrap your head around. But I feel like I've tried very hard to lead by example and to educate, and if I didn't know answers, to ask the questions to get the answers to our public, our community, our children.
You mentioned some of the initiatives that you accomplished and tried to accomplish during your first term.
Yes.
What kinds of pet projects or initiatives, therefore, could we expect out of you for next term?
I support the new jail. I support continuing to establish programs for rehabilitation for our citizens in need. I support encouraging technical education and establishing opportunities for outdoor recreation. I'm excited to be working towards the Safer Routes to Schools program and to be working on the committee to build a bike path through the city. So, yes, I would say those are the things that I'm most excited about.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Next up, our first of two challengers to speak tonight, Robert Leist.
Good evening. First, I'd like to thank the Farm Bureau, the BPW, and WTNS for having me, and for all of you for choosing to attend. I'm Robert Leist, and I'm running for Coshocton City Council at large. I'm a lifelong resident of Coshocton, educated at Coshocton High School and Muskingum Area Technical College. I've been employed at Kraft Heinz for over 32 years. I've been married to my beautiful wife, Melissa, for 11 years, and we have an amazing 9-year-old daughter, Camille. I'm an advocate for government transparency, a former state central committee member, a former state and national delegate. I currently serve on the Coshocton Board of Zoning Appeals and the Coshocton Bike Path Committee. I've also been attending city council meetings for the past 2.5 years so that I might be able to hit the ground running, as it were. Last year, I campaigned to become the state representative of the 72nd District. I was the first to step forward to offer a choice against a scandal-ridden incumbent. I'd like to thank you all for your support in giving me the second highest vote total in Coshocton County out of 5 candidates seeking that office. In that campaign, I expanded my network across the great state of Ohio to include over half of the state legislature. I also added many city and county officials to my network. I intend to use that network to investigate solutions to Coshocton's issues and petition for our interests directly at the state level. All these experiences have given me an in-depth look into the inner workings of our government, working with diverse groups of people and fostering cooperation. In that spirit, I have assembled an advisory board to assist me in improving Coshocton. Currently, our neighbors who have graciously offered wisdom in their areas of expertise are Chuck Hathaway, Tom Edwards, Bethel Toller, and Sheila Mays. I'm honored to have them by my side in displaying how a community can come together and facilitate positive change. I'm also happy to announce that our mayor, Mark Mills, has chosen to endorse my candidacy for Coshocton County City Council at large. All of us are dedicated to bringing prosperity to Coshocton. Will you join us? I hope you will. My passion for our community has me eager to serve Coshocton. I will tirelessly address our emerging priorities, challenges, while representing the vision of our citizens. I will remain connected to the public through social media, phone calls, council meetings, and scheduled personal meetings. I will make sure your voice is heard in City Hall. I shall be a conduit of the people.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'm going to have to catch you up there.
Robert Lice, November 2nd.
Rob, you mentioned that you've run for office before. You didn't win the seat that you were seeking.
Correct.
Being that this is the second year in a row that you've run for office, albeit a different office, if I'm an undecided voter, how do I know that you actually want this seat and not just to be in some office somewhere?
Oh, that's a very good question. Thank you. Actually, my dedication to Coshocton was the reason that I ran for the state representative position. I felt very strongly that if I cared for my community, then I needed to be the person to step up and initiate the possibility for options at that state representative level. So it is very much my love of Coshocton that has me dedicated, and I am here for you to run for city council.
You're elected. You're sworn in. Take us through day one on the job for you.
Day one? Okay. I'm coming to see our mayor. I want to see our budget report. I want to see our numbers. I want to look for waste. And instead of bumping up taxes, pushing for more money, I want to cut costs where we're wasting the spending. That's my day one, and you have my word on it.
Thank you, Robert. Next, we hear from another incumbent, that being Glenn Mishler. Glenn.
This year's election is vital to the continued prosperity and safety of the city of Coshocton, not for any single race for office, but in terms of supporting law enforcement and public safety. I personally urge all of you to support the ballot issue for the purpose of constructing the very necessary new Justice Center. Passing this measure will permit the commissioners to move forward with significant grants that likely would not be available in other years. The limitations and safety risks of our county jail have been well documented. I, Glenn Mishler, am running for re-election for the position at large city council. We have a strong current council with respect who respect one another, work very well together, and represent you well. I assure you that all your incumbents work for the good of the citizens, not for any partisan political gain. I personally pledge to continue to represent you well, supporting all the efforts to improve and vitalize downtown, to improve the climate for existing and additional businesses, to improve the condition of our city streets and bridges, and to continue to improve the relationship with our sheriff's office. We now have a new contract with the sheriff's office to provide better cars or better coverage with more officers on the street. Please always give these men and women the respect and support they fully deserve. As a longtime standing member of City Council, I've worked well with the county commissioners and other county officers, including the Port Authority. The impressive new building that MFM has under construction and the recent announcement of renovating the former Pastimes Theater are both major improvements which will lead to new jobs and new taxation, or new tax income, pardon me. I support and applaud private businesses such as Jason and Carly Thompson and Kirby and Amy Hossman, who have renovated along Main Street, greatly improving the appearance, value, and profitability of storefronts, office space, B&B rentals, and apartments, and provided new jobs. Senator Jay Hottinger said earlier this week, and I hope to fit it in, and I'll quote, "No more than ever, who we elect to represent us on the local level is of great importance. Federal and state representation is very important, but it's your local representation that impacts your daily living. Glenn Mishler has been a reliable partner on the local level, and I have valued his local leadership and service a great deal. There are those who argue that now is the time to shake things up and bring in new representation. I often say that just because you scramble your eggs, it doesn't mean you get rid of the cholesterol." The senator continues, "Rather, now is the time to stand with proven and dependable representation and to support those who have served and led admirably. Record is always of much greater value than rhetoric, and Glenn Mishler's record of service to the city of Coshocton should be recognized with your vote returning him to council. The residents of Coshocton should vote to keep Glenn Mishler. Thank you, Senator. I thank you all for your continued support of your local government, and I hope I can count on your vote."
Thank you, Glenn. You've been in council now for a few terms.
Yes.
Obviously, this last term is unlike any other term that you have served. With that being the case, as a voter who's going to the polls, when I'm thinking about which bubble to fill in, and I see your name, how would you tell me that you have led during this last year and a half? Specifically during COVID. Specifically when it comes to things related to COVID.
I have been very supportive of all the local health issues. Again, very supportive of the schools and all the things they're facing. I'm excited about just the prospect of coming out of this stronger than we ever were before. I admit I didn't personally have much to do with fighting COVID. I'm a representative of a lot of other people. But I think we have a really strong path forward, and I look forward to the next year and a half.
Being that you have been in office for a few years now, again, heading to the polls, what kinds of pet projects, what kinds of initiatives are left for you to accomplish?
One of the things I'm proudest of is the creation of a citizens committee citizens committee to help determine the need for streets and street improvements. And the citizens committee that I helped assemble worked on that tax levy, and we're now spending for the streets, and we've done nearly half of all the streets within the city by mile. I would continue that. Again, the experience of just organizing individual private citizens to help with the business of government, I think, is very important. We're only representatives. We shouldn't be dictating anything.
Thank you, Len.
Thank you.
Our second of two challengers, Rick Williamson. Rick.
Good evening. I'm Rick Williamson, and I'm asking for you guys to vote for me for city council at large. I'd like to start by thanking the BPW and their hard work on putting tonight's event together, WTNS, Jeremy Scott, and the Farm Bureau. I keep telling citizens to become informed and educated on their candidates and the issues. So I'd like to thank them for coming out, you guys, and also for listening from home. I've lived in Coshocton all my life, and I've been active in volunteering and giving back to my community since I was a teenager. I feel that it's time to take it to the next level. I believe my management position in my professional life and having served on numerous boards and committees locally make me a great candidate for council at large. I work on management teams at the local, state, and federal level, and I work with management teams to make sure that we not only provide excellent care, but we also make sure that we take care of our employees. It has always been my philosophy to let people be heard, no matter if I like what they're going to say or I'm against what they're going to say. The only way this works is to let everybody speak. And then when you come to a decision, it's not only for an individual, but it's for everyone involved, the best decision. I believe that these skills can be carried over at the local government level. 6 years ago, I stood up here with my concerns on the city's infrastructure, and today I still have some of those same concerns. We need lasting repairs and development. How much longer can we continue to let these issues go unaddressed? We need to become proactive rather than reactive. All the stuff on the surface looks good, but we must address the issues that are not seen. Water lines, sewer, drains, electric, especially the electricity on Main Street, and the lack of lighting. These are just a few. We need to do a better job with accountability. That starts from the top and works down. What good is having hundreds of ordinances if we only enforce a few? I believe that we have made a lot of headway, but I also feel there's a long way to go. Coshocton will not be what it was in the past, but we can use the past to make it better for the future and current residents. What do I bring if elected? Strong leadership skills, teamwork, communication, and accountability. I will see you, but I will also listen to you. Once again, I'm Rick Williams, and I'm asking for your vote in November. Thank you.
You mentioned in your opening statement there the fact that you have indeed run for office before. You have run for council before. Didn't win the seat that you were seeking. If I'm a voter heading to the polls, why should I feel that you're any more electable today than you were last time you ran?
I believe, every year I do better with educating myself on issues, on what needs to be done, and I talk to more people. And I believe without going out and talking to a lot of the citizens that I've come across over the last several months, that I have gained the support needed to actually make a good run at this time.
I'll ask you the same second question that I asked Mr. Leist. You're elected. You're sworn in. Take us through what day one on the job will be like for Rick Williamson.
Day one for me would be sitting down with the mayor, the service director, seeing all the stuff that we don't see when running for office and not in there on a day-to-day. I would definitely dive into the ordinances and see what can be done, ask questions as far as why haven't some of these been addressed. Ordinances would be a big thing probably on the day one, week one, probably for me.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks.
And finally, incumbent Tom Barcroft.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Thomas Barcroft, Tom. Also a lifelong member of Coshocton, and as long five generations of my family have been here before me, and it just shows that my roots run deep in this community. Along with my wife, Linda, we have raised two children, and we've been blessed with four grandchildren, and Coshocton is really a good place to raise a family. I'm sure most of you know that. I retired from the Engineering and Operations Department of Frontier Power Company after 42 years of service. I feel that it is very important for individuals to be involved in their community and to contribute in any way they are able. I'm an active member of the Roscoe United Methodist Church, serving as chair of the trustees, member of church council, and liturgist. I'm a member of the Coshocton County Republican Central Committee, president of Our Town Coshocton, and serve on the Historic Preservation Commission, the Transportation Improvement District, and the Leadership Coshocton County Advisory Board. I previously served on the Riverview School Board for 16 years. My involvement with all of these organizations has given me the experience to become an effective member of City Council. In February of this year, I was appointed by the Republican Central Committee to fill a council-at-large vacancy, and I am currently serving in that capacity. I am a member of the Finance, Ordinance, Infrastructure, and Grants and Economic Development Committees. Our current council and city administration work well together, and I would like to continue to be a part of the economic growth of our city. Since my appointment to City Council, it has become clear to me that one of the most pressing issues we are facing are much-needed improvements to our infrastructure. After four decades with Frontier Power, I know the importance of developing a long-term plan to tackle issues and then going out and getting the job done. Our city employees do a great job repairing and maintaining what we have, given the limited financial resources of the city. But looking to the future, we need to become proactive and prepare for the eventual need to replace city water and sewer lines, some of which are over 100 years old. The city does have plans for some important facility improvements, but I feel that it is essential, as our city grows, to develop a comprehensive and all-inclusive long-range infrastructure improvement plan. A healthy infrastructure lends to the marketability and the growth of our city. I would like to encourage all city residents to attend council meetings, become informed, voice your concerns, and learn more about how your city government functions. One of my favorite songs that we sing in church is titled, "Make Me a Servant." Ladies and gentlemen, I am not a politician, but I know how to serve. And if elected, I pledge to serve the city of Coshocton to the best of my ability. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Tom, same question that the other two incumbents got. You're seeking re-election at this very pivotal time for our city, for our state, for our country, for that matter. As I'm heading to the polls, and I'm thinking back on this last unprecedented year and a half that we've had, and I see your name. What have you done to lead this city during this pandemic?
Well, thank you. It was kind of a difficult time, and I was kind of thrown into the city council, so and I did appreciate that because I am very interested in our city. I think the challenge was the fact that citizens could not attend our meetings. We had to go to YouTube and Facebook, and to me, I like face-to-face encounters, and I thought that was a struggle. Our city during the pandemic, I thought it was incredible. We continued to grow through the pandemic. A lot of communities really suffered. We grew, and I just think the citizens and the whole community pitched in to help.
Your next hypothetical term, what kinds of pet projects, what kinds of initiatives does Tom Barcroft have on his agenda?
Okay, I already mentioned infrastructure. I think that is very important to the future of our city. We also have a need for housing, for middle-income housing in our city. I really feel that people in large cities are going to be moving out and looking for communities such as ours. We have a lot to offer. We have a very rich history, and that is another one of my concerns, is our historic downtown. With working with our town, Coshocton, we helped develop the downtown historic district, got it on the National Register of Historic Places.
Thank you, Tom.
This Eye on Weather forecast is brought to you by Sprint Print. Come visit Sprint Print for all your printing needs, including copies, business cards, all types of business printing, and advertising specialties. Sprint Print is still located at 520 Main Street, Coshocton, right behind Stewart Interiors. At Sprint Print, we hop to it.
Partly sunny today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, warm with highs in the upper 70s, chance of rain 50%. Showers likely tonight with scattered thunderstorms in the evening, and showers and isolated thunderstorms after midnight, mild, with lows in the mid-50s, chance of rain near 100%. Tomorrow cloudy with showers in the morning, then partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon, much cooler, less humid with highs in the upper 50s, chance of rain 90%. It is currently 74 degrees in Coshocton. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It's a minute after 11. And one more segment of our replay of last night's Meet the Candidate event, and we will hear from the candidates for Coshocton City School Board.
Our final race tonight is the Coshocton City School Board race, where two will be elected. Incumbents H. Tad Johnson and Board President Dr. Jerry Butcher have a challenge in Susan Mann. We have Dr. Butcher and Mrs. Mann with us tonight. Speaking first will be Mrs. Mann.
Good evening. They're saving the best for last, I guess. I, too, would like to thank the Business and Professional Women's and the Farm Bureau for sponsoring this tonight, as well as WTNS. My name is Susan Mann, and this year I'm hoping to secure a seat on the school board for Coshocton City Schools. I retired from Coshocton City Schools in May of 2020 after 20 years of teaching. I had the privilege during my career of teaching hundreds of wonderful children. My goal for every single student that walked into my classroom was for them to do their best, to believe in themselves, and to develop habits that would then carry them through their lifetime. As a teacher, I have seen firsthand the successes and the struggles that many of our districts are facing. I feel that I can provide a fresh perspective when the district faces the difficult decisions. While employed by Coshocton City Schools, I taught second grade as well as title math. I was chosen to be a participant of the Appalachian Educators Institute to complete coursework, to be a teacher leader, and to be a mentor for the resident educator program. I was a PACS partner, worked on the Family Reading Night Committee, served as a union rep, and the United Way coordinator. I'm a grandmother to a precious little girl, and we will be having another little girl welcome into our family any day. These girls will be attending Coshocton City Schools in the years to come. I have a vested interest in making sure Coshocton has a supportive and quality educational program that provides opportunities for all students to grow and develop into productive and contributing members of society. I believe that Coshocton City Schools need to work on better communication, building a more positive school culture, and to increase accountability. Leading by example is imperative, and I am hopeful that the voters of Coshocton City School District will allow me to be one of the leaders of their district. Thank you.
Susan, you talked about your past career in Coshocton City Schools. Why would you want to go back into the education field right now?
That's a great question. I see it from a educator viewpoint, and I feel like there's so much opportunity in the Coshocton City Schools that I just feel that I have been led to try and secure a seat in the board.
Coshocton School Board made headlines when it became the first in the county to issue a mask mandate, only to later drop that mandate without ever actually enforcing it. Where do you stand on masking in schools?
I was so hopeful you wouldn't ask this. We thought Riverview got this covered. This is a discussion that I don't care what side you're on, you have very strong opinions. And I have the utmost respect for the board and what they had to do there. Had I been sitting on the board when this came up, first and foremost at that original vote, I would have certainly asked a lot more questions. I then would have voted no.
You said it. We've talked so much about COVID as it relates to school board races. Aside from that, what do you currently see as the biggest challenge facing this district?
Well, not having been on the board and being out of the district for a couple of years now, right now we have a challenge because our teachers are in negotiations, and the negotiations are at a standstill. So if you had to ask me tonight what my biggest challenge would be, it would be to try and secure a contract for our educators.
Thank you, Susan. And our second speaker for this race and our final speaker of the night in terms of candidates will be Dr. Jerry Butcher. Jerry.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Jerry Butcher, running as an incumbent for Coshocton City School Board. And once again, thanks to the BPW and Farm Bureau and WTNS for allowing us. I think it's a great opportunity to give all the candidates a chance to come and present their viewpoints. I've been on the local school board for 14-plus years, several of those as board president or vice president. I've also been on the Career Center board for several years, and I have to tell you that it's been a blessing for me to have been on the board here at this Career Center because there are great things that happen here. It's growing. The students that come here learn so much, and I encourage you to support the levy that's on the ballot for that. How am I doing, Mr. Colvin? I'm serious. Very, very important for our community. Just thinking back to the time that I've been on the school board, I've witnessed a lot of things that I feel like I've helped support and accomplish. First of all, the successful construction of the new elementary school building that happened a few years ago. I was on a lot of the committees for the planning and development of that. I was also responsible for recruiting our past treasurer and current treasurer. As Mr. Brown said, school boards, by definition, have two employees, a superintendent and treasurer. And so I feel like that the two treasurers that I brought in have been very beneficial to our community and our school to bring new systems, new programs, new software to help our school system be more efficient and financially secure. When you think about school board and school board members, I kind of break it down to three main roles. One of which is being the overseeing of the superintendent treasurer. I think it's important to listen to those two folks, listen to their challenges, give them guidance, critique their performance, and basically hold them accountable. Number two, I think it's important as a school board member to have an open door.
Listen to the WTNS communication lines Monday through Friday from 9 until 11 a.m. on WTNS FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.